Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Acts, finishing chapter 8, verses 24 through 28. And we're going to be going on into Acts chapter 19. So this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Jesse from Camas, Washington.
So who's going to read that? Jesse, you're going to read that, right?
Read
24
that
through 28.
All right, Acts chapter 18. Now, a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scripture. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public and demonstrating by the scripture that Jesus was the Christ.
So here comes a new Johnny come lately. Are you going to accept him? Really serious. How about if we meet a believer? Are we going to accept him? And maybe we don't know him. We don't know where his background is or whatever. And so what's the test that you're going to use to know if he's a believer?
Says we will know them by their fruit. And what happened when he was taken aside by two people that were walking uprightly?
I would assume that they did it very kindly, with understanding and open arms, and not with accusations. They were more, you know, like a Berean, to prove right. Wouldn't that be nice if somebody you were telling, you know, there's a believer and they're checking you out? Wouldn't it be nice if they're a Berean, not a bereaving, but Berean, that accepted the word with readiness of mind? They were open and search the scriptures. And so this must have been their attitude towards him, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, it says they took him aside and explained him. If they were looking to berate him, they wouldn't have done that privately.
No.
So
it's interesting the order of Aquila and Priscilla switched right here. It was Aquila and Priscilla. Now it's Priscilla and Aquila. But her name got put first. The first time it was in, I believe I'm right. Yep. First time in 18:1. It was Aquila and Priscilla, and now, towards the end of the chapter, it's Priscilla. It reverses.
That is a good catch, Andy, because how many times have you seen with some, like Rainey Vaughn, sometimes Yvonne would
and they were working equally together here as a unit. That's what I got from this.
How many times have people listened to my wife before they listened to me? Well, it does happen, and I'd say at least equal. And maybe her more sometimes.
They were ministering equally. That's
yeah.
why it did that, to balance that.
Yeah.
I believe it balanced that in that writing like
yeah.
that.
It does. Well, I know when speaking with my wife, she has a very soft approach to things, where I'm more, that's wrong, or what you're doing is not accurate. And she's more of a, hey, well, if you look here.
Yeah.
And she has a much softer approach on things.
Which sounds like to me she was taking the lead in whatever was going on with him.
That is a good pickup, Andy. Wow.
I've never seen that before.
My 54th year.
I've never seen it until this minute.
Don't we do that all with each other? You know, well, I've never heard that before, but that's why it's good to be in the company of other Bible readers.
And then it goes, they took him, took him and expounded unto him.
Names always found together?
Yeah. And well, there's a place where you'll read later, and it was the church in their house.
there were years ago where we noticed that people rave on. You know, they almost got a rave on, like together. It was one word. You know, different people, Dave and Cindy, and you would talk about them as a couple. John and Thea, remember their names a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
Brett and Jeanette, those are good names that go together, don't they? When you really think about it, boy, I like that one. Anything else?
You know, it was really interesting how he was teaching what he knew. And it says that he spake and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. So there could be people out there that could be really close. And this is a great example of how that was handled.
Now, it doesn't say everything they did when they took him aside.
Right.
But we might be reading about that next in the next seven verses.
I was believing that. I know that, so. I thought exactly that myself, Gil. Here's the answer to that question. It's just right up, it's snuggling right on the page there.
You know, the Bible is the most amazing, where features are in the scriptures, the positioning of it is.
Like, where am I going to figure this out?
Yeah.
We'll keep reading.
We'll just keep going.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So 19, verses 1 through 7, chapter 19.
One more thing I wanted to say about this guy.
Hey, you lost your tongue.
Apollos. No. Apollos. It says, they expounded to him more accurately. It says, and when he was minded to pass over to Achaia, so he was somebody that was a leader in something. He had been doing something in the leading of the message. He stayed in that. He went on. Here, look at him. He left. And when he minded to pass over to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote the disciples to receive him. So how long did it take for him to get his...
together?
What is that? It's the word. To get his credentials or to get his whatever. They received him right away.
They did.
And when he came, he helped them much. And he powerfully did what he did. Wow.
That's a word.
It says what it says. It
says what it says.
Yeah.
So if something comes along like this and it happens around us, we need to be used to that and just let it happen.
Well, it has happened.
and quit trying to make somebody fit into some other mold when they are, God has got them and he just pushes them right into it.
It has happened to us. It has happened to us being accepted this way by Don Michaels, the Church of Christ.
Oh, I see
minister.
What you mean.
It's happened to us as being the recipients of that acceptance. Just like that. And we accepted him. And then Dee Ponser in Denver and Richard and Charles and others. And Dee says, well, if you feel like I need to be baptized again, I said, well, you'll be the judge of that, Dee, because you know what we're teaching and look at what you've done. And if you feel like you need that, we'll comply with what the Lord shows you, but until that time, why don't you ask the Lord? And she came right immediately into our communion meetings, and she was, a lot of times she sounded just like Ray in a lot of things, or like other believers that I knew. She sounded just like it.
You heard the Spirit.
There was not a, like a person, you know, if they're out of key, they're singing the wrong tune, but it was just...
It was the sound of the Holy Spirit.
The sound of the Spirit.
Yeah. That's the measuring.
And that was Dee Ponser.
The measuring tone.
Now, we got to baptize her husband, Rex Ponser, and he was a high-up manager for Rockwell International. Huh? You know, the guys that send people to space and so on. And he was a brilliant, brilliant man. And they were like almost my parents, at least my babysitter's age. They were, you know, a step above us. So... You know, when you deal with people like your parents' age, I always treated them like a parent in the respect. But then when they're a believer and you're a parent's age or older age, then, and I could respect them because they respected God and the Bible. So they just got brought right into fellowship. We've seen that over the years.
Yeah.
Both being accepted ourselves and accepting others. And Tony Carter came as a result of Dee. And so did Barbara Solano and her kids, and Christina Casal, and Jason all came through that acquaintance of her.
So we still have to be mindful, watchful of those things and be ready to. I liked how you said that as far as how you didn't say, well, you do need to go and get baptized again. That was handled right on.
Because I could see
why
the
don't
fruit.
You ask the Lord?
Yeah. I can see the fruit, and we became very close friends.
Yeah.
Carolee and I and Rex and Dee and Tony and Becky and the lot. Acts 19:1-7.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he said unto them, whether ye received the Holy Spirit when ye believed? And they said unto him, nay, we did not so much as hear whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into the baptism of John. And Paul said, John baptized a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe unto him that should come after him, that is, unto Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And they were in all about 12 men.
Now, we might know that back, we read about Ephesus in chapter 18, but Paul, he came to Ephesus and he was reasoning in the synagogue, but it does not say that this next step had happened where a fellowship had formed yet. He just came to Ephesus and he left them there. He left Aquila and Priscilla there and entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And then he goes on from there, but now he's coming back and something, the next step in the body's growth in this fellowship in Ephesus is taking place. And this is where they form into a fellowship. Remember we talked before about being God's children back in chapter 17, being then the children of God. And so now people are becoming children of God here. What'd you see, Jesse? You found some disciples. You know, learners.
Once again, there was a gap in knowledge. They had not learned of the Holy Spirit yet. And he went alongside them and taught them about the Holy Spirit. But more specifically, he said in verse 4, he goes, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who is coming after him, that is Jesus. So he was teaching them in a way that they had already heard and showing them the more perfect way.
How many times is baptism found in that? One, three. Three times.
Baptized.
You know, it's interesting that Hebrews...
Four times.
Is it four words or fourth?
Well, I guess the first one says baptism. Hold on a second.
Verse three, mm-hmm. Four, five.
Mm-hmm.
It's just three, isn't it?
Let me see. Receive the Holy Spirit. What were you baptized? One. Into the baptism of John, 2. Baptism of repentance, 3.
4. John baptized a baptism of repentance.
4. Yeah. It's in there a lot.
And then baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Verse 5, they were baptized. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 5 times.
5 times. Anyway, it's more than once.
It's a lot of them sitting in there.
But they'd already repented. And they'd already believed. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they had changed their mind and they had believed.
Well, they believed in the one that was following after, like John's baptism said to do. But they'd never heard about the Holy Spirit.
And it doesn't say here he went through and taught them all about laying on of hands for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. But it's something that he did. So I'm sure that there was some explanation on it.
Well, you know, when it happened to me, there was no explanation on it.
Do an experiment right now. Underline every place baptism is in that.
All right.
Please do it in your Bible.
1, 2.
And then tell me what 3. You come up with after you've just underlined those verses and put a number by it.
4.
Just any word under baptism. I get 3.
5.
Well, baptized, so you're going to count that one?
Yeah.
So, and they said...
Okay, where's your first one?
First one I see here is in verse 3.
Okay.
Into what then were you baptized?
Okay, what's the second one?
And then still in verse 3, and John said,
They said,
into the baptism of John.
2.
And Paul said, John baptized a baptism of repentance.
3.
That's 4.
Okay, there are 4, not 5. Okay.
Yeah.
So he says, so that's 4 right there. And then it says,
okay,
of repentance. And then further down in verse 5, and when they heard this, they were baptized.
I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me because somebody mentioned 5, so.
No, it's 4.
Okay. Into what were you baptized? Into the baptism of John, yeah.
Are you talking about in those 2 verses?
In that context.
Yeah, it was 5 times.
It uses the word 5 times, but in verse 4, it's John baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Oh, it is. Twice. So it is 5
times.
It is.
5 times.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, no, we're looking for something. We go, where?
Where is it?
What's wrong
with
my eyes?
This is a perfect example. We need more people than just us.
Really?
I'm serious. There's one. You're like, wait a minute.
But this is how we do things. Ray used to go around and teach a teaching, and he would teach it 7 times. You'd be surprised how these things would get ironed out after 7. All the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth purified 7 times. But he would let that, before he published it, he would go around and teach it 7 times.
So that it be proven.
Yep.
Established.
Established.
Because like I did there, I kept going past that one and not seeing it. You know, when you try to proof your own.
It's tough.
You need help proofing. So it is 5 times. How about that?
Meaning that there's probably some importance to a word God has put
just went
in
all over the
so
one
I just had to
context.
Change my mind too. I had to change my mind twice there. I repented twice. First time I thought it was 3 and then 4 and then I go, okay, it's 4 and then 5. It is.
So if you do the foundation word studies, you're going to go through this 5 times.
Yes, because
like you might want to look at this when it's in here 5 times. That's good.
Because the different parts of speech, one thing that we try to pick up on when we're doing the Greek is the imperative mood, which means a command or an order. Actually, the Greek part of speech is not imperative. I forget the name of it, but it is like a military order or command. Think if you don't do it and you're in the military, a court-martial. Seriously, this is a kingdom. This is not a democratic republic. It's a kingdom. So we have to obey and keep the commands of the king. And some of them are definitely life and death. It depends on if we do them or not.
Well, and that's where it says that he is Lord and judge.
Yeah.
So.
The Lord alone is judge in that one psalm. Yeah. King and judge.
One last note on this. I do think it's interesting that how many people were there. In verse 7, it says there were in all about 12 men there.
Right. Again.
So that's a very powerful context. It's got 5 scriptures on 5 the word baptisms in there. And every single one of them is water baptism. Every single one of them. No cloud, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's all talking
it's
about the
all
exact
about
same
water.
Thing.
That is that's probably the hottest scripture in the Bible on it with numbers of statements. Oh, I did look up one more thing I want to tell you guys. I found a place that talked about Priscilla and Aquila, and now they're not calling her just Priscilla again. I guess she just went by Prisca too.
Oh, really? That's a form of her name? Well, where'd you see that?
And Aquila. Well, I guess there's something like Priscilla now, all of a sudden Prisca and Aquila, his fellow workers. Now, Paul called her.
Where are you reading?
It's in Romans 16:3.
Thanks. Go ahead.
It says, salute Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, whom for my life laid down their own necks. Who not only I think, but also all the churches of the nations. And salute the church that is in their house, where you know it's his wife. She's put there. Now, when it went to doing that ministering, she has been put up front twice. That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it uses that same pronunciation in Panans too.
I'm in Panans.
What does it say in your translations?
That's what I'm looking up right now.
Romans.
Yeah. We have the same one.
Do you have an NASB?
No.
Yeah. The NASB says that greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus.
Well, you know how some people have kind of a nickname or an endearment or.
Well, I was pushing around and I went, wait a minute, this is their house.
Yeah.
Their necks. Look at how they're joined. Laid their life, their necks. Mm-hmm. Their house.
And here again, she is mentioned first.
Mm-hmm. The two times that when the ministering started, she was in it. She's with it. What? It's just written in here like that. I'm just making that point of what it shows.
And she was a fellow worker.
A fellow worker.
Yeah. Or they were.
They were.
Yeah, they were fellow workers. My fellow workers. Didn't put her in any of the other categories. A fellow worker.
Now, what's interesting is going back to Ephesus, because we're going to take that as a springboard and do the next step and go on to Revelation when we're done with Acts. And this is the only church that it talks about in the book of Revelation of the seven churches. It's the only one, the Ephesus. It doesn't mention Corinth. It doesn't say any of the other churches, the epistles that are written to the churches. It just says Ephesus, Smyrna. Have you read the Epistle to Smyrna?
No, I haven't read any of that.
How about the Epistle to Pergamum?
I didn't take that association that you're telling us about. No, I never thought of that.
How about the Epistle of Thyatira to or Sardis or Philadelphia?
Hold on, Gil, let me check. Did you think of that before?
No. I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, well, because we were making the comment on, oh, look at where these letters are going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what about these guys? I didn't make any comment on it, but it was still like, where's the letters to this or to them? Well, he went through that area, but the letters to see
only Ephesus is the beginning and the end. We're going to see a really interesting. Because if we're going to follow the trail all the way, and the reason we decided to go and do Acts and Revelation is a really good reason, is because we discovered in what people call the Beatitudes, the Makariositudes. How about if I call it the Makariositudes in Matthew chapter 5? Makarios are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, hugely happy. Makarios are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Makarios are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Makarios, not blessed. Blessed is eulogia, good image. You know, God bless the food. No, that doesn't work here. This is that you are going to be happy. What would you call the ecstasy or the feeling of joy that you had after you got baptized and received the Holy Spirit compared to any other joy, knowing you were a child of God?
I'll give you a line. Joy unspeakable and full of glory and the half has never yet been told. That kind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Say it again.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory and the half has never yet been told. That kind?
Yep.
Okay.
And that was fulfilled in the day of Pentecost. Well, that's the beginning. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord. So then I thought, well, how about my soul? Well, that happens in the first resurrection. And guess what it is? There's a scripture that distinctly is talking about the first resurrection being a Makarios event. Oh, really? And then there is another one that talks specifically about the judgment day in the resurrection of the just and the unjust being Makarios tied to that. So we made up a chart that's going to be in the book that shows these three are specifically these main events starting, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be
blameless
until the coming of the Lord. So he starts first is Makarios when our spirit has been made whole, when we have received the Holy Spirit. Our hearts have been cleansed and we receive the Holy Spirit. The next Makarios is when he comes again. Can you imagine all the yelling and shouting for joy that we're going to have? And then when we are able to see beyond the veil into the new heaven and new earth and see the Father, and that Makarios event, what that is going to be like. And so we decided, well, we can't just stop this journey unless we go to the first Makarios event. We have to go until we get to the day of Pentecost. Now we've got to go to the first resurrection, which is in the book of Revelation. And then we got to get to the judgment day, which really leads us into paradise. You know, the new
there
heaven.
There you will be with God forever.
Yeah. And he'll cleanse
God
the earth.
God is all in all, yes.
And isn't it interesting that we know that the book of Acts is not yet completed? We're in the book of Acts right now, but here is Ephesus. Isn't it interesting how God puts this target? So keep your eye on this Ephesus as we end up then in Revelation, the end of this church, and we're going to follow it. We're going to follow it to the end. And this is our bridge. The Pentecost was the bridge from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then this is the bridge from Acts into the first resurrection and the judgment day. A scripture, one of the favorite scriptures of mine, is that if we love the truth will set us free. But if we have a love of the truth, it is very key in our salvation. It says in a place they did not receive the truth that they would be saved. So loving the truth is very important. And the truth is what purifies our heart. We purify our hearts through a love of the truth.
And this song here is found in Philippians. What chapter? It's in there. So this song is found in Philippians.
You can even say someplace in the Bible. Sometimes they actually said that, didn't they?
Yeah.
It is written.
Yeah. All right. This is a song that you can find in the Bible.
Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, dwell on these things. Whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, if these be worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."